Hafa day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Dr. John Vaughn. It was presented in October of 2009. It's the fourth in a six-part series on brokenness. The title of the message, Brokenness, the Purpose.
In Matthew chapter 16, we're going to read verses 13 through 28. We see there revealed Peter, in his greatest strength, followed immediately by his greatest weakness. And that is extremely important. The key to understanding where our greatest weaknesses are is to look at our greatest strengths. Because when we think we're strong, then we have a tendency to trust ourselves instead of God. Now that is an extremely important point, and that's the point we want to make tonight. The purpose of brokenness is to teach us that we always need God. And our tendency to think that we can handle it on our own is the thing that really gets us in trouble in life. Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" They said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said unto them, "Well, whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited, if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man came in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Brokenness teaches us how much we need the Lord when we think we're strong. Now there are three simple things I want you to see from the life of Peter tonight. And the first is that because Christ knows our point of resistance, he breaks us in that point. In these verses that we've read tonight, and you know what they say, and probably have heard messages on them before, Christ was up in the northern part of Israel. He was up near Caesarea Philippi, up near the area that was given to the tribe of Dan, where they turned to great paganism, where they were actually worshiping idols at one time in Israel's history. He was up in that area when he asked his disciples, "Who are people saying that I am?" And of course, they said, "Well, they think you're one of the prophets. They think you're maybe one of the Old Testament prophets that's returned." And so he said, "Well, who do you think I am?" And Peter immediately answered in incredible faith, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." When he said, "Thou art the Christ," he was saying, "You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You are the promised Savior that the Old Testament is all about. You're the one. You're Him. You're the one we've been waiting for, the Son of God." And immediately, the Lord commended Peter for his great faith. "Blessed art thou, Simon, son of Jonah." Bar-Jonah means son of Jonah. "Flesh and blood has not revealed that to you. You didn't figure that out on your own. And you don't know that because you're a smart man. God showed you that. The Spirit of God revealed the truth to you." He commended him. That was Peter's great strength. He believed the Lord. He'd done this many times. He stepped out of the boat and walked on the water when the Lord said, "Come." He acted in faith. He had faith. He trusted and he believed in the Lord. But he still trusted a lot in himself. Here was a man with great endurance. He made a great confession here when he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Christ commended him for it. Christ employs our strengths. He lets us use our strengths in our service to Him. He does that to be a blessing to us, a blessing through us, but He also does it to break us. The example of Peter is an example for us. Peter had the answers. He knew who Christ was. He had the faith. He believed who Christ was. And he was a leader. He had the boldness to speak up and say it. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe a teacher was asking a question and you thought you knew the answer, but you weren't really sure and you didn't want to get corrected for being wrong? So you waited to see if somebody else would give the answer? Peter just said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know who you are, and I believe it." You have to appreciate that. His courageous testimony of truth about Christ showed leadership. It showed wisdom. It showed faith. And those were strengths that Peter had. And therefore, he was praised for those very qualities. In verse 17, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it to thee." Peter, that was a wise answer. Good answer. You teachers know how to do that, don't you? He's commending in Peter what he wants to see in all the disciples. Wise answer, good answer. The word Peter, or Petros is the name, means a rock. You're a rock. And it's on this rock-like quality of unwavering faith that I'm going to build my church. On the rock of faith like yours, Peter, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. That doesn't mean that hell will not be able to conquer the church. It means that that hell will not be able to resist the church. The gates of hell will be attacked by the gospel. And the gospel will prevail when the people who carry it have the kind of faith that Peter had in this verse. So he commends him. And he commends him for his leadership. "I'll give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you will bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven." I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you leadership. I'm going to let the decision that you make as the leader be a reflection of the decisions that have already been made in heaven, is what he's saying. I'm going to honor your position of leadership, and I'm going to honor the kind of faith that you have. So the Lord commends him for all of these qualities that he has demonstrated in his great strength. And Peter's strengths were wisdom, faith, and leadership. Christ employs our strengths to teach truth in that same way. But in the same way that Christ employs our strengths, both to bless us and to break us, He also exposes our weakness. And when He exposes our weaknesses, He's both blessing us and breaking us. In verses 21 and following, immediately after Peter's great confession of who Christ was, Peter greatly denied the Lord. In one sentence, he said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord said, "Well said." And then the Lord began to teach something about brokenness. He began to teach something about suffering. He began to teach something about the cross. And Peter, the man of great faith, the man of great wisdom, the man of great courage, stumbled. And in his weakness, he rebuked the very Savior he had just confessed. He said, "Wait a minute." The Lord told him, "We're going up to Jerusalem. They're going to arrest me. They're going to have an illegal trial. They're going to crucify me. They're going to put me to death." And Peter said, "Oh, no, they're not. I won't let that happen." Peter looked at his strong arm. He looked at his determined heart. He looked at his willful response, and he said to the Lord, "No." Have you ever done that? You've confessed Christ. You've trusted Him as your Savior. You've put your faith and trust in Him, and He says, "All right, now, let's talk about the cross. I'll talk to you about the cross that I'm going to bear, and then I'm going to talk to you about the cross that you're going to bear." And something within us rises up and says, "Oh, no, 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 no. Our flesh does not want that," just like Joaquin sang. Misuse of a strength is one of our greatest weaknesses. That's what Peter was learning. Even a weakness, however, can reveal strength. Peter took him. He physically took the Lord in his hands. Some courage there, wouldn't you say? And he reasoned. He took his faith that he had in who Christ was, and he tried to come to the right conclusion. And he said, "Be it far from thee, Lord. Lord, my concept of you does not include what you just described. What I think you have the power to do and what I believe you have the desire to do, that doesn't square with what you just said. You just said that you were going to be killed. You just said you were going to be put to death and suffer, and that the scribes and the elders, no. You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." As if to say, "We're going to Jerusalem, and we're going to show those guys who's boss." Now, there are a lot of people today who would love to talk that way about the Lord, and they would love to think that way about their own relationship with the Lord. Has there ever been a time in your life when God has shown you something that you didn't want to face, or put you in a situation you didn't want to go through, and you, in essence, by your response to the Lord, took Him and said, "Oh, no, be that far from, no, that's not a part of what I'm signed up for. When I became a Christian, when I came to church, I didn't agree to this." And He said, "This shall not be unto thee." Underneath that statement is some loyalty that we have to realize. Peter said the very wrong thing because he had the very right commitment to the Lord. He was loyal, he was courageous, and he was determined. "This shall not be unto thee." This doesn't fit who you are. I'm not going to let anybody treat you that way. Have you ever believed in your heart that you could do something to help God? Peter was unbroken. He wanted everybody to think about Jesus the way he thought about Jesus. And when Jesus said, "There are some men who don't believe what you just confessed, and they're not going to respond to me in the right way. In fact, they're going to help me fulfill prophecy because they are going to put me to death. Implications, so I can die for the sins of the world." And Peter didn't connect, how his death could accomplish that, and so he resisted and literally fought the Lord. Peter was using his strengths, his courage, his loyalty, his determination to defy Jesus Christ. Now think about that. He had all of those qualities, and the Lord had just commended him for those qualities, and then he turned them toward the Lord. And look at the Lord's response. Peter had just made a great confession. Christ had just made a great commendation. Now Peter makes a great denial, and the Lord says to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." This is the same Lord talking to the same disciple in the same conversation. One moment, Peter gets it right, the Lord commends him. The next moment, Peter gets it wrong, and the Lord condemns it. People don't often understand how the Lord can be so harsh to Peter's denial if he really loved him and wanted to encourage him. I hear people all the time saying, well, the best way to help somebody is to lovingly lead them, not to jump all over them. How do you explain verses 23 and 24? You explain it this way: a denial of what God came to do in Jesus Christ and how our lives are to line up with that, a denial of that is a denial of the gospel. A denial of the cross is a denial of the gospel. And a person who does not speak for the blessings of the cross is not speaking the truth about the gospel. And Christ wanted to make that very, very clear. I'm saying that brokenness reveals to us the weakness in the life, regardless of the performance that seems apparent. Peter was a strong man, but Peter got it wrong when it came to brokenness. Peter needed to be broken because he did not realize that Jesus Christ came to be broken. Not only does Christ know our point of resistance and therefore breaks us at that point, but Christ knows the persistence of our resistance, and therefore brokenness persists. Later on in this gospel, in Matthew 26, we read the story there of the Lord telling his disciples that someone's going to deny him. And he says there in verse 31 of Matthew 26, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it's written, I shall smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. When I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." And Peter said unto him, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." That's what he had hoped was true about himself. "I'm not going to do that, Lord. I'm not going to turn against you." And the Lord said, "Verily I say unto thee that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." Peter said unto him, "Though I should die with thee, I will not deny thee." And all the disciples said, "Yeah, me too." And you know what happened. Later on, in verses 69 down through 75, Peter came to the place where this illegal trial was taking place, and they recognized him and said to Peter, "You're one of them. You were with him." Verse 74 says, "Then began he to curse and to swear, 'I know not the man.' And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And he went out and wept bitterly." You know what's taking place in the end of chapter 26? Peter is being broken. And when a man is broken, there is bitter weeping. There is the grief in the realization that we are not what we've wanted to pretend we are. We are not what we wish we thought we were. We are not what we want others to think we are. We need God more than we realized. And He has loved us all along, and He's cared for us, and now we've denied Him. If I were to ask you tonight, do you realize that before this week is out, you're going to deny Jesus Christ? Would you say in your heart, probably so? Or would you say, I don't think so. I'm not planning to. I hope I don't. Peter didn't want to face this reality about himself. But there will come a time, probably before you pillow your head tonight, when some thought will occur to you about a spiritual responsibility and you'll say, I've worked all day and I was in church all evening and I need a break here, okay? And you're going to put yourself first and ignore some responsibility. It's a simple little thing that we do. And yet we continue to justify it and resist. And that's because we need to be broken. Do you realize that between these two events where Peter said, I am not going to ever deny you, and when he realized that he had denied him, you know what took place? I mean, 1 hour before this denial, Peter is out here pulling a sword and cutting off a guy's ear who's trying to arrest the Lord. And I don't think he was aiming for his ear. I mean, he tried to kill the man that was there in that situation. He really was backing up his promise. I will not deny you. I will not let this happen to you. And yet 1 hour later, he's cursing and swearing that he does not know Jesus. Why? Because he's in fallen human flesh and he needed to be broken. And so do we. The reason we deny the Lord is because we fail to remember what we sing in the song, I need thee, oh, I need thee. I need thee every hour, I need thee. The moment we turn away, we begin to sink. We go under, and we have to cry out, Lord, save me. Brokenness persists because our resistance persists. And I'll close with this. Because we don't realize our resistance. Brokenness is very, very painful. We do the thing that causes our pain and we don't realize how we're injuring our souls in the process. Back in our text here in Matthew 16, verse 24, the last part of the verse, Christ said, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Christ knew the suffering of the cross that was coming. You and I are hoping and praying that it's not going to hurt that bad when it comes to us. We're terrified of it. We're terrified of pain. We're terrified of shame. We're terrified of humiliation. The Lord said, let him take up his cross. In other words, the thing that God knows is appropriate for you to bring you to the point of brokenness. God will use something that's related to your strength. He'll use a person. He'll use a thing. He'll use your money. He'll use something that you depend upon to make you strong, and He will break you in that area. When He puts us in that painful situation, He will use that to make us the way He wants us to be. He will break us and mold us, and the pain is real because the resistance is so hard. I'll tell you a quick story. I know our time is gone. Story I heard many years ago about a father who loved his daughter very much. And he always would love to give her gifts. When he'd come back from traveling, he would have little gifts that he would give to her. And one day when she was a little girl, he brought to her a little plastic string of fake pearls. And he popped those together around her neck and he said, how about that? And she said, oh, are these for me? I like these. They're so pretty. And they were her favorite. And she wore them everywhere. She wore them to play. She wore them to school. She even wanted to wear them to bed. And the dad knew how much she loved him, and she wore them for years. And she loved him so. And every time he'd come home from a trip, she'd run and jump in his arms and say, oh, Daddy, I love you so much. And he'd say, you love those pearls? And she said, oh, yes, aren't they pretty? And, of course, they were just fake and toys, really. But one day when she got a little older, he came home one day and she jumped up in his arms and said, oh, Daddy, I love you. And he said, do you really love me? She said, well, yes, Daddy, I do. And he said, do you trust me? Well, yes, I do. He said, "Would you give me your pearls?" And she reached up to take them off, and she said, "What will you do?" He said, "Honey, when you give me those pearls, I'm going to build a fire in the fireplace. And I'm going to throw those pearls in the fire." And she pulled back, and she said, "No, no, I love these pearls." So he didn't press it. But the next day he came home, and she wasn't quite as eager or quick to run into his arms. But she did hug him, and he said, "Do you love me, honey?" And she said, "Yes." He said, "Would you give me your pearls?" "I can't." And this went on for several days until finally fellowship was broken. She didn't run to meet him. He'd call out to her, and she would answer from the other room. And after some days of broken fellowship, she couldn't stand it any longer. And she ran to meet him, and she said, "Daddy, I do love you. And if that's what you want," she took them off and gave them to him. And Daddy took the pearls, and he threw them into the fire, and she sobbed and grieved, and she could not understand. And he reached in his pocket, wiped her tears, and unfolded a beautiful strand of cultured pearls and put them around her neck. She said, "Are these for me?" He said, "Yes, they are." She said, "How long have you had them?" He said, "I brought them home many days ago." She said, "Why didn't you give them to me before?" He said, "Honey, I wanted to know if you love me or just the things I give you." That lesson is the lesson of brokenness. Oh, the things that God wants to do for you. The thing that God wants to do for me. If we would just let go of the trinkets and want only Him.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Brokenness, the Purpose, by Dr. John Vaughn. It was originally presented in October of 2009 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam as the fourth in a six-part series on brokenness. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.